This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
I got to admit, Corona, right off the bat, I'm a little worried. I'm a pessimist. I'm a little pessimistic by nature, and I saw that the jury in the Rittenhouse trial had some issues. They were asking for clarifications, and they wanted printouts, actual copy of the laws in question, and then they went home for the night. Went home, not to the hotel like they do in the movies. Went home for the night, where they could sit down and watch, you know, CNN, or sit down and watch Joy Reid.
Yes.
which would clearly be poisoning their minds. But I thought this yesterday. I said, clearly it's open and shut. There's no debate. The charges are ridiculous. It was obviously self-defense. If you were to judge it on its merits, this would last 10 minutes. Maybe they'd have lunch and drag it out for, I don't know, an hour and a half. But it would be over and done, as it should be. There should be no criminal charges. This whole case, this whole trial was a sham, was a charade. It was all the charges were brought because of the pressure from the mob and the media, who are indeed the enemy of the people, as we've learned almost on a daily basis. But so they went home. They're coming back this morning. They'll deliberate some more. And then we find out things are leaked about the jury. And I want to get to that. We got Jack Pozo's reporting from sources with the U.S. Marshal's Office in Wisconsin, which are disturbing. But speaking of disturbing, you just sent me this this notification from Facebook, and I'm looking at it now. I'm trying to make some sense of it. I feel like we've done some decent analysis. We've done nothing crazy or over the line. Decent analysis of the trial. Why are we being flagged by Facebook now? Why this stuff is so frustrating. I realize Facebook is not, you know, our meal ticket. We can still put up a podcast. We can still do our show, and people can still watch it and patronize our sponsors. So Facebook isn't instrumental in our little operation here. They're just annoying. We were doing so well on Facebook, and now they're flagging us for what? Community standards?
Yeah, it's very similar to, you know, how we had that strike on YouTube. And if you, on YouTube, it's a little bit stricter. If you say anything about vaccines at all, they're just going to strike, which is why we abandoned YouTube doing the live stream, because invariably we're going to just talk about stuff. And the
amazing thing with YouTube is you can't do the news, because the news involves a lot of vaccination talk.
Right.
So I hear other shows, and they'll do the news. Here's what somebody said.
Yes.
You know, Aaron Rodgers said about the vaccine, or here's what Biden said about the vaccine. And if you do that, you immediately get flagged, taken down. It's so insane.
I think it was that Isaac clip that we from the NBA that we played that actually did it. But so this one is, we do promos on Facebook, and actually, I got to hand it. I mean, it's you do a great job, of course, and you're provocative and you say provocative stuff, which is amazing. But it's also our interns do a great job finding, you know, we do it together, but they find good clips and they make them compelling, and they're getting a ton of interaction on Facebook now. Like, Facebook to Twitter interaction is like a 10-to-1 ratio now. We are just crushing Facebook. But what that does is it puts more eyes on us. And so, yeah. And I thought, like, this one that we've done more, less benign content. The one that they flagged was one where Turtle Boy was on with us. It was either, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and we talk about Rittenhouse and it being self-defense. And it was removed for violating our community standards. And of course, when you do that, they don't tell you exactly what that means. They'll say it could be, you know, promoting terrorism or promoting violence or whatever.
So there's no violation.
Yeah, it's a violation. So they ended up, they said, so there's this big red banner across the top of this thing. It says pages at risk of being unpublished. We took this down. I fought it, and they pretty quickly undid it. So we're fine. We have no strikes now. But it just goes to show you that we are being targeted. And so you said it doesn't matter. But this does matter to us. Like, we need, social media is so important for any media folks to get their content out, to get new listeners in. This podcast is a business, and so we need to do as much as we can to drive traffic, not only to our sponsors,
but
to our
stuff.
I didn't
say it didn't matter. I just said it wasn't instrumental. We can still do our job without it, but it is so maddening, because they have these standards, and I'd say that about all the social media, hell, all the media. is they want groupthink. If you violate, basically the violations can be summed up in one sentence. They are, you did not join in on the groupthink.
Right. That's right.
You stepped out of line. You must be fanatically, whatever, pro-vax. You must want to see Rittenhouse convicted. If you step out of line and you do not participate in groupthink, you are in jeopardy of being taken down from everything. It's amazing. Everything. The monolith that is big tech. So you come out and say something about support of an anti-vaxxer or even an Aaron Rodgers. You're in jeopardy of being taken down on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. And then if you really get crazy like Turtle Boy, then good luck making money, because PayPal and GoFundMe will flag you. Yep. I think we reached peak insanity with big tech when Rittenhouse was indicted, charged, and people were losing their jobs for supporting Rittenhouse, for sending him $10. As we talked about, a policeman in Norfolk, Virginia, he was there. He was a veteran. He'd been there 20 years or something. Lost his career, lost his pension, because he anonymously sent, I think it was $20 to Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse, who clearly was innocent. Yeah. We knew it from the beginning. He was innocent. He was being charged for political reasons. So that's one thing. You still get your day in court, as he did, and he was still obviously proven innocent in court. We'll see if the jury does. But for an average citizen, a cop, and there was someone else who was an EMT, I think in Utah, and they made a donation, again, like $20 to Rittenhouse's defense fund. And the media was outside their house putting the camera in the windows, trying to get a story. Why did you do that?
They got swarmed, attacked.
And is there anything more American than being able to, you know, support someone who's being unjustly persecuted? So you say, that's not right. I'm going to support them. I'm not going to, you know, Kenosha. I'm just going to send them $20. That person loses his career. Now, I realize there'll never be consensus because you have people who support authoritarianism. You have, again, the MSNBCs and the Boston Globe who support authoritarianism. They support the Biden regime. They don't care about, you know, that nasty little Bill of Rights. They don't want that to get in the way. So they're okay destroying the lives of people, whether they trespassed in the Capitol on January 6th or they sent $20 to Rittenhouse or they tried to fairly cover the vaccine issue or fairly cover the Rittenhouse trial. You know, with both sides, give both sides a chance, or you let, Jonathan Isaac talk, or you let Aaron Rodgers talk. That's not allowed. That's not allowed. We were literally flagged the first time for playing clips from an NBA player.
That's it. We didn't even say it. I mean,
who was reluctant to get vaccinated.
Because
you're taken down. So if you're trying to survive, if you're trying to, you know, have a career or just have a voice, you have to step in line and participate in this groupthink, this Orwellian thing where you must sign on and say you agree with everything the regime says. See, I think this is an absolutely frightening turning point.
It is, and typically Facebook is the best of all of them, is the least. Really? Like, yeah, because I think the demographics are different. It's a little bit, it skews a little bit older, so they're most likely going to have more conservative content. Or like more conservative content. So Facebook does cater to that a little bit more. I was shocked that this is what triggered them off, but this is why it is so important for people to join the Callahan Show community on Locals. We need you here because we need to be able to protect ourselves from being shut down. So come on here. We live stream for free as long as you have a Locals login Monday through Thursday here. If you want to see the live stream or there's extra content here, come to Locals. It's callahan.locals.com. Very simple. Come here. And then if you support us financially, then we'll give you an extra show every week. But
but
it's just so important that you're here. Help us protect ourselves and protect the show so that Jerry can continue to do what he loves to do.
It is frightening to me. And I realize, you know, I had a good long run in mainstream media, you know, on talk radio. And then this wave of authoritarianism hit where you think about this. I'm looking at a tweet from our friend Tom Shattuck. He played on his podcast, a cut from Jedediah Bila, Bila, whatever her name is, who was on The View, and she was debating with those insane, crazy liberal hens, hacks, debating the vaccine. And she was saying, well, you know, if you're young and you're healthy and maybe it's not for everybody. All Shattuck did was play that cut, that clip from The View, which I believe is on, you know, ABC. And it's, you know, generally 5-1 brainless hacks like Joy Behar and Sonny Houston or whatever her name is, spouting the talking points from the Biden regime and the mainstream media. Absolutely. That's like the world headquarters for mindless groupthink. Yep. Correct.
Yep.
So you have one woman. She wasn't even in the studio. She was on remote. She was very calm, considerate. She let, you know, Behar just rant and rave. And then she said, you know, there's another side to this, basically another side to this vaccine debate. If you're young, you're healthy, maybe you have allergies like Aaron Rodgers, whatever. So they play the clip and YouTube takes the show down.
Yes, yes.
How does that not scare? How does that not infuriate everybody? I realize, again, if you work at whatever, the Boston Globe, you sign on. It's like joining a cult. It's like joining, you know, the Branch Davidians or Jim Jones cult. You're not allowed to think for yourself. There's no one who's allowed to have a contrarian thought. That's that's the media now. But the idea that someone would be flagged, would be suspended, banned from all social media, that a couple of tyrants in Silicon Valley get to decide what you see and hear, how does that not upset, infuriate everybody? It's the most un-American thing. And yet we still have people who act as if, you know, Jack Dorsey or Mark Zuckerberg, they're just great, you know, tycoons, business people. They're enemies of the First Amendment. They are enemies. And that used to, people, whenever I'd say something like that, to say, well, they're not in the government. Only the government can affect the First Amendment. Yeah, they are. They're allowed to do, as we know now, they're in partnership with the government. They're in partnership with the Biden regime. They might as well be government entities. Well, they couldn't do what they're doing without the government.
They're going to get disrupted. That's what's going to happen. The technology exists. I've said this before. Blockchain technology is a source of truth technology. It's something that helps us circumvent this stuff.
Here we go.
No, well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it. That's no problem. I'm just saying the technology exists to circumvent what they do, and they will get disrupted. I don't know how fast that. I hope it happens in my lifetime. I hope it happens in the next 10 years when I can still enjoy it. And benefit from it. But I do, I know the technology exists. They are not long for this world because people don't want this. People don't want to have the government in lockstep with the media telling you what you can think, telling you what your opinions can be. They don't want that.
And you always thought that there would be, you know, this would be a great debate. You know, you'd be have to, but you can't even debate. You can't even have two sides to an issue. No. It's so frightening.
It's your opinion.
And so all the media, well, I mean, there's a few, and you know, just get some people on Fox News and some people in talk radio, but for the most part, big tech, big media are in cahoots. They're in lockstep with the government. And even worse, I guess, would be academia and education. So kids are not taught to think critically or to think contrarian thoughts.
They're not.
And you see polls and they don't think that, you know, they think socialism's, you know, wonderful. College students, you know, like more than half of them think socialism is a good thing.
Yes.
They think capitalism is a force for evil. They're taught, their minds are poisoned. And it's one thing, you know, since I was in college, there were plenty of radical professors. There were, you know, even, you know, Marxist socialists, but there were to both sides. You were allowed to hear from both sides. When you get to this point, when you're only allowed to hear from one side, when literally someone explaining why they decided not to get vaxxed, why that's not allowed on social media, what allowed on YouTube, you know, millions and billions of subscribers, you can't hear that. And you go, wait a second, that's not what this country is founded on. The idea that we're all supposed to think the same way, act the same way, believe the same things. How does that not frighten everyone? That would be incredibly frustrating. It should be incredibly frustrating for anybody who believes in, you know, a robust debate, who believes in the free exchange of ideas. We're not allowed to do that.
And you're absolutely right. It's the schools that are doing this. What can you expect? Public schools, call them what they are. They're government schools. They are teaching you to comply with the government, to be a drone with a certain opinion, a certain thing. And that's going to drift up into academia, into colleges.
It's always been in academia and colleges. Now you're just not allowed to. Those crazy professors, and you still see them. They'll be putting out YouTube videos, which are never taken down.
Yeah.
You know, there was a professor from Old Dominion who made a video earlier this week or maybe over the weekends in support of pedophilia. Nothing, no big deal, just in support. They wanted to change the name of pedophilia to minor attracted people.
Jesus.
This professor, and it's kind of, I don't even know if it's a man or a woman. I just saw the video. And I think the professor's been put on leave. That's Virginia for you at Old Dominion. If that were UMass, that person would be promoted.
Absolutely.
But they wanted to end the stigma against pedophilia.
I want to go the other way. Let's call it kid rape. Like, let's not even call it pedophilia anymore. Kid rape is what it is in the dictionary.
But the scales have tipped so far in one direction, it just should frighten everybody. I don't understand why it doesn't. Well, I know I'm repeating myself here. And I think, as I said, this is a very big tipping point, this Rittenhouse trial. And I'll tell you why. It's obviously this poison, this wokeness, this political correctness, that's not even a strong enough term. It's not political correctness. It is radical wokeness has infiltrated, has infected all the institutions. We've gone through it before, academia, colleges, education, big tech, big media, obviously government, and the military. We've mentioned this before with this slime ball, Milley at the top. They're now trying to purge the military of anyone with a MAGA hat or a 3%er tattoo like you have. They want those people out, and they want to diversify the Marine Corps. That's the new movement from last week. They want to make the Marine Corps look more like America, so you can have more, you know, look the cast of Zoom. You want just to have every box checked. When the Marine Corps for 250 years was about killing the enemy, was about killing and dying for this country. These are the best of the best, not some diverse collection of people whose, you know, immutable characteristics, whose skin color or sexual orientation was what made the Marines. It was about their willingness to fight and die for this country. There's something we can all be proud of. That's over. That's over. These sickos, these people in the Biden regime and in the media and in big tech have poisoned the military. But now this is even more, this might even be scarier when you think about it. We might have criminal justice by the mob, by mob rule may have infiltrated the courthouses. And if they can convict Kyle Rittenhouse, if the mob can force a jury, intimidate a jury to convict someone like Rittenhouse, who is clearly innocent, and I'm not having this debate with anybody. If you watch the case, see, I've been, you know, like you, I've been following every detail here. If you watch the case, if you paid attention, you're more fair. You're more even handed than I watch this case, and he's 100% innocent. There's no gray area.
There's zero gray area. I'm 100% with you. No,
there's three innocent shootings. All three are on video. All three are self-defense.
Yes.
Kyle Rittenhouse, and here we go again. We're going to get flagged. Acted heroically in protecting his town, his neighborhood, his friends, his family. He did the job the government is supposed to do. The police, the DA, the mayor, the governor. These are the people who are supposed to protect the citizens, the taxpayers of Kenosha, the businesses of Kenosha. They didn't do their job. So guess what? Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old baby-faced kid, a junior, whatever he is, police cadet, a lifeguard, stepped up and filled that void and did it heroically. There's no gray, there's no debate. He is 100% innocent. But the mob decided that they wanted to see him convicted, even though he didn't, he shot the most despicable the worst of us, the worst of the human race. That's who he shot. That's who he killed. He killed just awful, horrible people. But somehow the likes of, you name it, Joy Reid and Chris Hayes and
Geraldo Rivera.
Geraldo Rivera, we'll get to that moron, decided he committed some crime. They don't know what. They don't know what. There was, you know, a gun violation that was dropped. He violated curfew. That was dropped. There's still five charges pending. The jury's deliberating them. The jury has questions. And the mob has already doxed the jury. We know that. They took pictures of them outside the courthouse one day. We know that from George Floyd's cousin, nephew, friend, whatever he is. No one's quite sure. He's got some connection to George Floyd. He was bragging. So if they decided this innocent kid is got to go to jail, is got to pay, what are they going to do next? I mean, what they're going to say, look, we can affect jury trials.
Yep.
We can affect justice in this country. We can dox the judge, dox the jury, well, make it clear. I mean, you can't sequester every jury. And even if you do, they can get to them. So to me, that should be the most frightening aspect of this, the fact that that they've spent 8.5 hours and they've made no decision and they have some questions. And Jack Posiak of Human Events is reporting that they've already intimidated the jury. The jury is not ready to make a decision because they are scared.
The court of public opinion is actually, it's like now it's actually the court of a public opinion. They're actually determining these things now, it seems.
If that's the case, and again, they've they've poisoned so many aspects of American life. All the institutions have been infiltrated by these sickos, by these radical socialist, anarchist, Antifa, BLM. They've gotten to everybody, it seems. And now they're going to decide court cases? God, it is frightening on so many levels. And, you know, nobody cares because, I shouldn't say nobody, many people don't care because their side's winning. They're going to watch what they would like if you're, you name it, Geraldo Rivera, Joy Reid, Joe Biden, Ayanna Pressley. They're not going to be happy unless 18-year-old baby face, working class kid, medic, vigilante, whatever you want to call him, unless he goes to prison for protecting that city and eliminating the worst people on the planet, eliminating them because he was protecting himself and his city and his neighbors, they're not going to be happy unless he goes to prison. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That is insane beyond words. And they're going to celebrate if there's an announcement. Oh, yeah, he's convicted on 2 counts, facing whatever, 5-10 years. They're going to celebrate. They're going to say, oh, good, we put him away. And I would ask those people, why? Why are you happy? Why are you celebrating? Why are you rooting for Kyle Rittenhouse to go to prison when he did the world a huge favor? He stepped up when no one else would. He stepped up, and fortunately, you know, he did the right thing. As somebody described, consider what he did. He shot three, killed two of the worst people in the world. We know that now. Other people he pointed the gun at and they raised their hands and he didn't shoot. So he didn't shoot indiscriminately. The description of him as a lone shooter or active shooter is despicable. As we pointed out yesterday, these prosecutors are despicable, disgusting people. Saying he should have, you know, everyone takes a beating. He should have taken a beating. And you got that snake Binger saying, oh, all Rosenbaum did was set a couple of fires. All he did was use the N-word. And he goes, tick, 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 this. Honest to God, the people trying to put Rittenhouse away, whether it's celebrities in Hollywood or presidents in D.C. or scumbag Congress people like Ayanna Pressley and Ilhan Omar, these people are disgraced. These are the worst of this country when you think about it. They know Kyle Rittenhouse is innocent. They know it. And they don't care. It's kind of like, You know, the grandma's taking selfies on January 6th. They know they don't deserve to be in solitary. They don't deserve to do, you know, a year in prison. But they don't care. They're enemies of the regime. They've picked teams. They've picked sides. They've picked the side of Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and Gage Grosskreutz. They've picked the side of this, the worst scum in the world. And they want to see this kid who, as somebody pointed us out yesterday, I hadn't thought of it. They wanted to paint him as a white supremacist, right? Yep. Or even a militia. They went through his phone. They went through his social media. If there was anything there, support of the Proud Boys,
come out.
Or the three percenters like you, anyway, anything there in support of those, you know, enemies of the state, we'd have known everything about it. They'd have leaked that out in a heartbeat. If he had any connection, if he'd ever, you know, liked a tweet from, I was going to say Alex Jones, but he can't be on Twitter. If he liked a tweet from, there aren't too many Proud Boys allowed on Twitter. If he'd liked a tweet from Ann Coulter, we would know all about it. There's nothing. There's nothing. They can't even, they found one picture of him with a t-shirt that said free as fuck. That's it. That's because he was out on bail. So he wore a t-shirt. He was happy. He was celebrating. That's all they got. And that's all it takes for some idiot like Geraldo to say, oh, he was acting like Rambo. Why was Rambo? First of all, Rambo in the first one didn't shoot anybody.
He didn't.
He was in the woods, Geraldo. He wasn't a vigilante, you idiot.
He's trying to get away.
We'll get to that moron, Geraldo, who I hate to say, I love the five. You know, I watch the five. I miss Juan Williams. I mean, I hated him, but I miss him because he wasn't as dumb as Geraldo, and they would have good fights with Geraldo, the other guys, Jesse Waters, and
kick the crap out of him.
They just look at him and say, you're pathetic, yeah. Right? They almost, it's like beating up a child or something with Geraldo. He's just so clueless. But we'll get to the latest. I mentioned those Jack Posobiec tweets and what might be holding up the jury. And when you hear this, you might be as disturbed as I am, because it is, it's not good. It's not good. They have so far, according to Jack Poso, they have succeeded in at least intimidating a couple of jurors, which was the goal all along. And if they can get a hung jury, if they can just get some, just scare two of them, three of them, one of them, if they can scare one of them into saying, I don't want to die, I don't want the mob to kill me, then we have a complete abortion here. We got a grave injustice. But we'll get to that. We'll get to Joe Biden up in New Hampshire explaining why we need this $1.25 trillion socialist boondoggle infrastructure, my ass. Only Joe Biden can explain it the way he did. We'll get to that and a lot more on today's Callahan Show, brought to you by DCU. Whether you're buying your first home, your dream home, or looking to refinance the home you love, DCU may have the mortgage program to fit your needs and, more importantly, your budget. Their mortgage experts will walk you through the application process and help remove the hurdles that can make it so difficult and confusing. They will bring you right up to the front steps of home ownership. Learn more about rates and programs or to apply today at dcu.org/mortgage. DCU is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 466914, insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, let's get to this, Carano. The jurors went home, as we know. It was 6 p.m.
Yep.
Last night, sent them home. They had some questions. They had some whatever. They needed some clarification on some laws and some charges and all that. That, to me, is alarming. Again, open and shut case, no debate, unless you're, you know, whatever. On one with Rachel Maddow, there's no debate. It was clear, innocent, self-defense. Give him a medal. He did the world a favor. Then we find out in a matter of, I don't know how long it took, that, do you have the post-Posobiec tweets by any chance?
It was 5:25 p.m. is when Posobiec tweeted this out. Two jurors holding decision up outright, citing backlash per U.S. Marshal in Kenosha. I'm confused about this whole thing. Number one, how does the marshal know that? Number two, How are people getting to these jurors? They should be on their own, right? They shouldn't be in a place where people can get to them.
First of all, they're not sequestered, which I ask, why the hell not? I understand it's asking a lot to sequester a jury. It costs a lot. But this is kind of a big deal.
Suck it up. It's all in the news. Yeah.
And you don't have to put them in the Ritz. You can put them at the Holiday Inn Express. They let them go home. I got to be honest. If I were a jury and they said, don't watch anything, don't read anything, I would have a tough time. I'm a bit of a news junkie. I'd want to know what someone... I'd break, I don't know if I'd break the rules. I'd probably rationalize in my mind. I'm just going to, you know, put the TV on for a few minutes or whatever, see what he has to say. It's really easy for these scumbags in BLM and Antifa to get to the jurors, I think, unfortunately. So I find it completely believable that they... intimidated them, or at least made it clear.
I guess if they said they found their families, they could get a message in through that way. Hey, we're getting threats at home. You know,
plus consider this. These are people, every single one of them, who lived through the BLM riots from last summer. And if you haven't seen, you know, if you forget, it's a city of 100,000 people. It's a working class city. They did $50 million in damages. They burned that bitch down, to quote Michael Brown's father. They burned a bad bitch. They burned a car dealer, and you can see the video where they smashed up each car individually. Then they set them on fire, and there's a big Black Lives Matter sign in the foreground as the fire is burning in the background. I mean, they did serious damage to the city, damage that will never be repaired. If you live there, obviously you don't want to see that happen again.
No.
Would you be willing to sacrifice a kid, a neighbor, a good kid like Rittenhouse to avoid that? I mean, that's the question.
No, other than you're a coward if you do that. You're an absolute coward. If you're on that jury, you have the absolute response. You should have gotten off it somehow. You should have done everything in your power to say that you would have been a bad juror for this, to try to get off this. If you don't think you can make the courageous move, which is defend this person's right to self-defense, then
I agree 100%. But maybe, how about this for rationalization? You say we get a mistrial, and you've been around this judge. This judge seems like I don't want to say sympathetic, but he seems like a tough guy, and he knows that this case in his heart, he knows this is a ridiculous case, that they have no case, and you think he will not allow him or will not retry him. You can have a mistrial by, what's the term again?
Oh, it was directed.
Directed mistrial or whatever. So you can declare a mistrial and not retry him. Which brings me to, that was the big news from
directed right verdict, after, right? Directed verdict?
Directed verdict,
I
right.
I think so, yeah.
So you can tell everybody, we're done here. They didn't prove their case. And in a way, get the jury off the hook.
That's cowardice. That's cowardice. If a jury says, "Oh, let's kick the can down the road and see that if the judge will do this," that's cowardice. The jury needs to stand up for this person's ability to defend themselves.
I agree. That would be the best thing to do. Yeah, two jurors holding the decision up.
We've been telling you about Shea Concrete for a long, long time. Today, we're sitting with the man who makes it all work. The man in charge of the whole place, my brother-in-law, Greg. Hey, Greg, seems like business is booming at Shea Concrete.
We're cranking it out, Jerry.
Well, I'm just wondering, what's holding you back these days?
We could use some good help.
You need people?
We need people.
How many people do you need?
At least 20 people.
20? Well, what kind of people?
We have positions driving trucks, working in the production plants, estimating, engineers, all kinds.
You need any podcasters?
You know, we do have the Precast podcast.
Well, I think it seems like a great place to work, as I tell people. It's a family atmosphere. You guys are good to your people. There's a great gym here at the headquarters. What's holding you back? Why can't you find people?
Besides being to work on time, you have to pass the drug test.
Ooh, you have to pass a drug test. That's all it takes. All right, if people want to come see you, they want to talk, what do they have to do?
Bunch of ways. They can, if they want to be a team member, they can go to SheaConcrete.com, fill out an application. They can come to any of our offices. We got 4 locations. They can call me up directly. They can email jobs@SheaConcrete.com.
And you'll give them a hat?
And we'll give them a hat.
Hats.
Yep.
All right, sounds good. SheaConcrete.com. I saw a really cool, nice cafeteria here. Can we go have lunch?
Oh, absolutely. We got empanadas and chicken.
Excellent. I don't know what they are, but I'm going to go have an empanada.
All right, let's get to the more grounds for a mistrial, more grounds for a directed verdict, more malfeasance from the prosecution. Those two dirtbags we saw in action when the closing statements, you know, Krauss, the one who said he should have just kicked him in the testicles. that guy. Well, apparently they had a really clean, crisp version of the drone video showing Rosenbaum chasing down Rittenhouse and Rittenhouse turning when Rosenbaum was trying to kill him and shooting him four times. Very composed, cool, clutch move on Rittenhouse's part. Again, we tip our cap, did what he had to do. Well, the clear, crisp version was not shared with the defense. That, to me, I didn't go to law school, but I've read a lot of John Grisham books. Yes. I've seen the movies. And you and I had a little argument about that, by the way. Which, what did you say about Time to Kill?
Time to Kill is a terrible movie. I think on
Time
Quantum
to Kill
Wave,
is not only is it not terrible, it is great. It is an A. It is two thumbs up. No. It is five stars. Time to Kill is a
sucks
great.
In that. Sandra Bullock sucks in that. Samuel L. Jackson is the only one who's any good. Movie. That last scene is pretty good in there, but no, that's like a C minus, maybe a
it
D plus.
It is an A. I want to say A plus just to annoy you. So I'll say A plus. Great movie. Great book. Might be Grisham's best, but certainly most underrated. Chris Cooper's that's the best. I know it's not a big role.
Oh, Cooper's
but
good. He's always good.
And it's so intense. And Kiefer Sutherland is so evil. Great film. Can't recommend it enough.
Actually, that's a great point with Kiefer Sutherland's character. You never see what happens to him afterwards. Nothing. He just goes away. He shoots someone from on top of a roof, and then he just gets away. They never tie that up. That's bad movie making.
Well, they tie it up nicely when they all have a nice cookout at the end. But, we just gave it away.
That's
anyway,
30 years old.
The shooter walks free because he did the right thing. He shot the people who raped his kid. Just like Kyle Rittenhouse did the right thing here. But tell me this, if you have clear video of the first shooting and you don't share it with the defense, if you keep it for yourself and they have to have this grainy low def video, isn't that a violation? Isn't that isn't that crossing the line? Isn't that grounds for a dismissal, a mistrial?
This we know
is
it is.
Clearly,
yeah, we know
clearly,
it is.
Dereliction here, whether you know, whatever this is.
Well, the prosecutor has a responsibility to share anything that they have, anything they have with the defense, and they just didn't hear until after they closed the case. So you can't do that. You closed evidence.
And the
you
best
can't do
part is most people didn't pick up on this. God knows I didn't, but they talked about the video in their closing statements, and the big guy, Krauss, he said, he slipped up and he said, our version's better. He said it.
Yes.
No one quite knew what he was talking about. Well, somebody must have tipped off somebody and they said, wait, your version of what? And they looked into it and they have a much better version they didn't share with the defense. I don't understand.
What an idiot that guy as Fatlock is. What an idiot. Well,
he is. He's a disgrace. He's the one. Hey, he's the one who in his closing arguments, pleading with the jury for conviction says, everybody has to take a beating sometime.
Yeah.
So the solution for him was not shooting Rosenbaum. It was for a 17-year-old child to take a beating from a 36-year-old psychopath, guy who rapes kids, a guy who just got out of a mental hospital and is suicidal. His solution here that could avoid all this trouble for everybody was drop the weapon, take a beating.
Yeah.
Think of how insane, how outrageous that is. That's a district attorney saying that the kid should have the best way to resolve this was just take a beating.
And I'm sorry, like I know I've said this a number of times, and this may seem drastic, but if someone is trying to use physical force against you, you should assume that they're trying to kill you. Like that is the rational assumption. I know fights happen and whatever. No, you should assume that you will be dead afterwards, and you should take appropriate action for that. That doesn't
especially
mean
especially when the guy says, I'm going to kill you.
Right, there's that. And you've seen him, you know, he's been lighting stuff on fire, over, you know, flipping over tractor trailers in the roads, all sorts of crazy stuff.
That little stuff. All he did was set fire, set a few fires, and tip over some porta potties and use the N-word. I don't know which one of those two prosecutors I hate the most.
Probably, God, probably Binder because he, or Binger because he fired it. No, because he put a weapon, he aimed a weapon at the jury.
That's true. They're both disgraceful. They should both be disbarred. They but we will see today. Hopefully they come back. They get a few issues cleared up. And, you know, they say, I got to take a chance that they might dox me. They might, you know, whatever, come to my house. But I got to do the right thing.
Got him.
If, I'll say it again, if Rittenhouse gets convicted of anything, it is a very, very sad day in America. It's a point where we're wondering about every trial. Hell, this again was a white kid shooting three white guys, three white degenerates, being defended by an all-white defense team, prosecuted by an all-white prosecution team, and a judge sitting and trying the case, a white guy. So it's everybody's white. And somehow, you know, the Joy Reid faction of the mainstream media decided it was all about race. Somehow they injected race. So if the next case is, I don't know, a black, one of the rioters was black, then they really are going to put the pedal to the metal and go with that race theme. And then what happens? What happens if there's legitimate racial component? There isn't one, and they invented it out of whole cloth. What if there's a real racial element? Then they're going to take it up a notch or 10. Then what chance does the defendant have? If they can inject race where there is no, there can't simply nothing racial about it. If they can make it about race, then they can make anything about race. If they can intimidate this jury in Kenosha, Wisconsin, what happens to the next jury in whatever, in California, in LA or New York or somewhere, where they have more, with a mob, where the anarchists have more of a presence, more of a reach? They're not going to control our judicial system. God, that should scare everybody. But we will see how it goes today. Hopefully they come back quick, say boom, boom, boom. He can go now. He can go now. And then if people want to, you know, donate, if he's acquitted, maybe then we'll be allowed to donate to his defense fund, or we'll PayPal and GoFundMe continue to shut the... By the way, at the same time, you were allowed to donate to the people who burned Kenosha to the ground, burned Minneapolis to the ground, and the vice president, now vice president, was leading the effort to raise money for the BLM and anarchist scumbags who were burning cities, destroying businesses, hurting people, shooting people like David Dorn. You could donate to them, but if you wanted to donate to Kyle Rittenhouse, one kid in Kenosha, you would lose your job, your career. You could lose everything. That is peak, you know, big tech tyranny right there. But anyway, we will get to a few other items. I want to get to Nick Sandman, who has lent his support to Kyle Rittenhouse, and I'm just going to say, I don't know, Nick. I like you. I support you. I'm glad you're rich, but I'm not sure these two situations are all that similar. Mm-mm. And we'll get to the president, the commander in chief, explaining why we must give him another trillion for his little infrastructure boondoggle. It's about what you'd expect from Joe Biden. But first, let me tell you about our friends at MyPillow. We love MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com now and use code word Jerry for huge discounts. For example, you can get the standard MyPillow, which I have a couple of those, and I love them. They're normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with code Jerry. That's a hell of a savings. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you will ever sleep on, and it makes a great Christmas gift. Get it now to support this show. Like us, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping this show, you're joining us in the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow isn't in the big box stores for obvious reasons. So get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using the code word Jerry. I've explained to you, I have my Giza sheets. I love them. My wife took them off to wash them, and it wasn't the same.
It's not the same.
Put on some old crappy sheets. I said, I need my Giza sheets. We get them back on the bed. Now I'm sleeping like a rock. I love all my pillow stuff. Can't recommend it enough. Go to mypillow.com and use the promo code Jerry. That is G-E-R-R-Y. Also, we are sponsored by Hone Health. I love Hone Health too. Another great company. It's a comprehensive hormone optimization clinic that helps men get their energy back, their focus, libido, their muscle mass by addressing low testosterone. Hone offers at-home biomarker testing, in-depth physician video consults, and FDA-approved medication delivered straight to your door. Since it launched in 2020, Hone has helped thousands of men. You have no energy, low energy these days, tough time making it through the day, you're having a hard time putting on muscle when you're in the gym. Is your libido not what it used to be? Your hormones could be to blame. Did you know testosterone levels have decreased substantially over generations? Our father's generation had testosterone levels that were 25% higher than ours. That is amazing. Thing is, it's not your fault. There are many factors such as environmental changes that are affecting our generation. Today, 30 million men in the U.S. have low testosterone that's affecting their daily lives. Hone Health can help. Testosterone is more than just a sex hormone. It can affect energy levels, muscle mass, focus, and overall mood. That's important too. Hone helps men get testing and treatment for low testosterone from the comfort of their home. It's an easy process. You just collect the sample, mail it into the lab. Once results are ready, video chat with a real doctor. The doctor will recommend a personalized treatment plan based on your biomarkers and symptoms. Treatment includes FDA-approved medication delivered straight to your door. I'm not a medical expert, but these guys are. Hone Health is, and they'll be there with you every step of the day, step of the way. Order Hone's easy-to-use at-home assessment test today to learn more about your testosterone levels. For a limited time, only listeners of this show get the home testing and a doctor consultation for $45. Go to honehealth.com/Callahan to take advantage now. That's Hone, H-O-N-E, health.com/Callahan to get home testing and a doctor consultation for just $45. I like Nick Sandman. He's the guy who was attacked by the mainstream media, called whatever, a racist bigot, because he had a red MAGA hat. He was in D.C. at the Lincoln Memorial when an activist, a Native American, got in his face. And I will say this, Nick Sandman, like Kyle Rittenhouse, showed remarkable composure for a kid, for a 17-year-old high school kid. Didn't get flushed. Had a little smirk, but hey, there's nothing, no law against that. He was slandered, libeled, destroyed by the media because they claimed that he was the aggressor. He wasn't. It was a lie. They just hated him because he had a MAGA hat. He sued. He made a fortune. He still has a bunch of cases pending, but he's already made millions. I believe he's still the highest paid person at CNN because he makes more than all the rest of those low-rated hosts. He penned a letter, a column for the Daily Mail in support of Kyle Rittenhouse, any point, and he named names. He named Ayanna Pressley, Joe Biden, LeBron James, and told them to shut the hell up, which I loved. And again, I commend Nick Sandman, but it's not the same. Kyle Rittenhouse risked his life, literally would be dead if he didn't pull the trigger.
I mean, the actions aren't the same, but the media response is extremely, that was probably as publicized as this is, don't you think? I mean,
I would say they one thing in common, the media lied about them.
Exactly.
Lied about them because they're not on the right team. The media, again, the enemy of the people, decided Nick Sandman, a Catholic school, high school kid from Kentucky, was the bad guy. Jumped to conclusions, just like with Jussie Smollett and everything. I mean, that's what they do. They jump to conclusions and they get things wrong. And they want so badly for Rittenhouse to be guilty, to be the bad guy here, and he's not, and it drives them nuts. And a lot of the celebrities are chiming in, which is kind of funny. I retweeted Matthew Modine, who made Full Metal Jacket in 1987 and has been going downhill ever since. And he tweets out, just ripping Rittenhouse for, loading up a gun and going there to kill. He went there to protect his town, and I commend him for that. But It's good to see. Nick Salmon said he's there to talk. Here's what he has to do. Advise Kyle Rittenhouse on his legal options. Help him with that. Give him their lawyer's phone number, Nick, because I cannot wait for Rittenhouse to start suing people. Hope he includes the president and my crazy congressman when he starts going after the people who slandered and libeled him. All right, let's get to Joe Biden. Joe Biden's giddy right now. He should be, because 13 traitor Republicans joined him in passing this infrastructure bill, which is a boondoggle like all spending bills these days. We mentioned one day, and I've tweeted out one of the aspects of it is tree equity. And
I didn't believe the number that I saw. Was it?
$2 point something billion for tree equity. And you got to read it to believe it. It's some tree equity where they want to spend all this money to make sure there are enough trees in marginalized communities.
Did you see
everything else. This woke insanity.
Did you see who they would allow spending it? They wrote that out too. It was like all these government organizations, but under that they said nonprofits. So you know they're just going to slush fund some of these nonprofits that are on the government side. It's crazy. $2.3 billion, isn't that? That's like 2%. How is it $1 trillion? So it's 0.2%. That's a huge $2.3 billion.
Well, that's what they say. It's not that much money.
You know what
I mean? Billions. It's billions. Yes. It's a lot of money. Here's the thing. The biggest lie of all is, oh, it's for infrastructure. It's for roads and bridges. And then you get stupid people who don't want to look in past the headlines who say, oh, yeah, I'm for that. I'm for roads and bridges, which gives them the opening, you know, to slide in all this garbage. And some Congress people know it, and they just they vote against it, of course. But then you get morons like, you know, Adam Kinzinger and these other Republicans who say, oh, no, it's roads and bridges, and they support Biden, give him a huge victory, and he never mentions it without saying bipartisan. That's a big deal, bipartisan. But if you missed it yesterday, he was in New Hampshire, and he had, I forget who he was with, Jill and a few others, and they make their big introduction by walking across a bridge, an old bridge in New Hampshire. In where was it? Woodstock? Is that in your neighborhood?
No, that's north northwest of where I am.
So they go to this small town in New Hampshire, and they come walking across the bridge, and it's so embarrassing. There's like three people who clap. It's so dead. There's a little bit of snow, and he takes the stage to try and again, he's not all that with it. And even when he wasn't that bright. And he just thinks, you know, talk about crumbling bridges, and they'll give me everything they want. And he's right for that. But so far, he's right. He got this $1 trillion package. Most people support it because they think of road and bridges. And then, you know, immediately you stick in all your little goodies, your socialist wish list. So he tries selling it, and just looking at him is embarrassing because he thinks that it's working, like he's convincing everybody. But the story he tells is so bizarre. It's not even a story. He's on the bridge and he says, we need this so we can shore up the bridges in case there's a fire on the other side of the bridge. And if there's a fire on the other side of the bridge and we can't get over the bridge in the snowstorm, people will die. I'm like, oh, so if we don't give you $1 trillion, people will die in scary fires in the middle of snowstorms. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right.
Oh, so I have to support this or people will die in fires and snowstorms. Okay, I'm in. I mean, is that not like juvenile? I mean, to say, give me all your money or everyone will die or people will die in fires on the other side of this bridge. I mean, does that work on people? Does that sound legit or does that sound like a dumb demagogue trying to scare you into supporting his latest boondoggle?
He sounds like a crazy person. You want to hear it?
Yes, let's listen.
Here it is.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I think about it. You know, you're in a situation. What happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People could die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
Is it?
People will die. If you don't give me all your money, people die in fires, in snowstorms. Why doesn't he add locusts? You know, he could add locusts or You know, zombies. What about zombies? If you don't give me money, zombies could kill everybody.
People could die.
It's just, I mean, it's just so embarrassing that Americans, I mean, millions and millions of Americans buy that. It works on them. You know, they say, he's right. Bridges are crumbling. Well, you know what? Look at your check every week or every 2 weeks. They take a lot out of it. They can fix the bridges with some of that money. You know, the towns fix bridges. The states fix bridges. You don't need the federal government to confiscate $1.2 trillion or more and then try to explain it by saying, if you don't give me the money, people will die. I mean, that, and then they'll turn around. Biden will say, I love when people aren't buying what he's saying. And he goes, no, I'm serious.
No, I'm serious.
No, really? People will die.
Think about it. Think about it. I've thought about it. I really have. I don't need to think about it anymore. No, he's just a crazy person. It's.
So you're up in the sticks of New Hampshire. So I'm thinking you might die in a fire if I don't give him all my money. So I'm going to do it.
You'll do it for me.
I'm going to do it for you because I don't want Perfect. You and your kitty cat to die in a fire in a snowstorm.
Len, by the way. Let's use his name, Len.
Len or Lem?
Len.
Len, what a boring name.
It's not a boring name. It's short for Lanier.
What's Lanier?
Lanier. We've talked about this. He was the most moral character in Babylon 5. I know you love sci-fi and you watched that entire series. Well, Lanier was the moral character.
Do you know who Bob Lanier is?
I don't think so. Who is that?
NBA. He was a big man, a center in the NBA, Detroit Pistons and others, I believe. Famous for having the biggest feet in the NBA.
That's disgusting.
Size 22. They had a train. The Basketball Hall of Fame would send around all their stuff in a train. You could go see it. So I went to see the train full of all the Hall of Fame stuff. And the biggest attraction was, these are Bob Lanier's shoes. And you get to hold them up and everything. And they were size 22. He may have been passed by, I don't know, Shaquille or someone else. But in those days, Bob Lanier was a legend for having huge feet.
All right. Good for him.
All right. What do you want to do? You want to? I know I went off on the Facebook thing for too long. So we probably should wrap this sucker up, Corrado, get it out there before, you know, the jury starts resuming deliberations. We're here to get people ready. I'm looking at the scene outside the courthouse right now. It was pretty wild yesterday. There was one white guy who, man, he's a nut. I give him credit for balls because he had a megaphone and he was taunting Black Lives and Antifa people. And saying, how many cars are you going to burn tonight? And he was calling, saying, Black Lives Matter and Antifa are terrorists. And he appeared to be by himself.
Yeah.
And he was surrounded by BLM people. And he, I guess the cameras and maybe the cops were there and he wasn't all that nervous, but man, what a.
So, but I wondered, like, did you see more of a panoramic view of everything? When the camera panned for me, I didn't see that many people. It looked like another Netflix situation too, where the media may have outnumbered the actual protesters. So I wonder how much of it is media induced.
I hope he gets acquitted in a matter of minutes today.
Me too.
And then I think, as I've said all week, and I don't think it'll be that bad. There'll be some fires. There'll be some, you know, screaming and yelling, maybe some fights. But A, there's 500 National Guardsmen on the ready. They didn't have that last time. They had 125 because the mayor was a moron.
Yeah.
And the governor was a moron for this because they wanted them to, you know, blow off steam. They were allowed to riot. They're not allowed to riot anymore. And I think the average citizen is just fed up with it.
I think so.
They watched the case. They saw the evidence. They know he's innocent. They're not going to allow their city to burn like they did last time. People are fed up. And if you want to call them, you know, whatever, racist or bigoted or whatever, call them Proud Boys, if they resist your, you know, civil disobedience, so be it. They're not going to allow it to happen again. I don't think it'll get a little dicey for a while after the verdict. But in the end, I think common sense will prevail and people will say, we've had enough. You're not going to destroy our bakeries and our sub shops and our shoe stores just because you want to support, you know, Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber, those two scumbags. But, and by the way, we've found out Gage Grosskreutz is almost as bad as the other two scumbags, arrested for smacking his grandmother in the face.
He did, yeah.
At one point, he was carrying the gun illegally. He got arrested for carrying a gun while intoxicated.
Yeah, DUI, yep.
Is that what it's called?
He was driving while intoxicated, so DUI.
Oh, I thought he was carrying a gun.
No, he was DUI, and he had a gun with him.
Oh, he had the gun with him.
It was together, yeah.
another quality individual who is, by the way, a member in good standing of a socialist anarchist, called the People's Revolution. That's the group he belongs to. Mm. These were the worst of the worst. And one of them survived. He's no longer a righty. He used to be a righty. Now he's a lefty. But the other two are gone. And that's a good thing. So good luck today to the jury. And I'll have some balls. Do the right thing. You know, hopefully there will be people will move on. That's what I think. After the verdict, they'll say the right thing was done. The kid did nothing wrong. We'll move on to the next case. Ahmaud Arbery. That's a better case if you want to fight about it. Go down and follow that case, because this one is done. Let him go, as Chris Cooper says of Samuel L. Jackson in that great movie, Time to Kill. You let him. No, he said, you set him free. You let him go, even though he blew off Chris Cooper's leg.
He did.
He knows Samuel L. did the right thing, and he demands they set him free, and they do. So hopefully that will happen here, too. Hopefully real life will emulate Hollywood. Hey, it sort of did in the courthouse, you know, when Binger was imitating Alec Baldwin. picking up a gun and putting his finger on the trigger.
What an idiot.
That guy can't win. We can't have that guy win.
Oh.
All right, anything else, Carano?
No, I think that's it.
All right, you have your work cut out for you. We want to wrap this up and make it sound smooth. So good luck with that, my friend.
Thank you.
We will. By the way, I haven't mentioned this in a while. Go to Apple, and give us a 5-star review, or give us a review. Give us whatever, 4-star, if that's what you think. You can write a review. Give us a 5-star rating and write a review. You can tell us what you think of Carano, or what you think of the show. But I haven't mentioned that in a while. We would love it if you did that. But anyway, we shall leave it there for today. We'll be watching this verdict. We will be reacting. We'll be all over this tomorrow. And hopefully it will go smoothly. Thank you to everybody for watching, for listening, for commenting. Next to Carano, I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will do it again tomorrow.